So if you're joining us for your regular scheduled episode of the NAFcast, where we discuss terrible, terrible movies about monkeys, you are unfortunately...
Apes.
I'm sorry. I'm very woke. So they are apes.
Not woke enough.
You are going to be sorely disappointed in that, but we do have a very special treat for you guys. We're talking to an old friend who served 10 years in the military about some of the recent deployments of force and the recent issues going on in the George Floyd protests nationwide.
So you guys are in for a very special episode.
For those of you that like our politic episodes or the
right?
politics chunk.
If you came for the movies, you may just want to come back next week.
Yeah.
I suggest even if you came from the movies and you hate politics, you do give this a listen.
In fact,
I extra suggest that you give this a listen.
Oh.
Because I'm really hoping to learn quite a bit from this, because this is really a content expert in the field of... He's going to tell you what it actually is, but it's basically deploying military... in the United States for civil cleanup.
We'll let him
like
kind of introduce himself. I think our first question will probably be like, Darren, you want to tell us a little bit about what you do and what you've done? And his name's Darren. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
Darren,
hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey. Good.
What's going on, man?
I am locked in my house, slowly going stir crazy, losing my mind. How about you guys?
Oh, man.
Not the same.
Yeah. A lot of the same. But, well, first of all, dude, it's going to be confusing because we're all on a speakerphone, so I'm assuming you can hear us all, but good to talk to you, man.
Absolutely. You guys, too. Sorry it took damn near the end of the world for this to happen.
I know, man. Dude, you know how it is. I mean, you go, you do your thing, you move to somewhere, you start a family, things happen. It's like, it's hard to keep up with everybody. But, you know, it's good to hear from you, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, so a little background for the dozens and dozens listening along at home. For everybody, if you're not living under a rock, you know that we are in quite a period of... civil unrest, I guess, would be the delicate way to put it. And I've been watching a lot of the videos of the police and their use of force, and I was getting to wondering if, you know, this is like a normal thing, if this makes sense. And I was like, you know, I got a buddy who served. So I messaged Darren about it to get some more input, and he gave me some great insights, and then asked if he could be on the show. I don't want to butcher your title or your content area of expertise, Darren. So you want to, you know, tell us what your background's in?
Sure, absolutely. So I spent about 10 years in the military. I was a reservist in the Army Corps of Engineers, the officer. My area of expertise back when I was still in was, you know, civil military operations. So it was all of the non-combat stuff facing civilians that the Army has to do. Construction, natural disaster recovery, stability operations. So, I wasn't a door kicker or a trigger puller, but I was trained in the variety of combat tactics. Had a few dicey situations, but it wasn't my job to go look for trouble, just to get out of it if I found it.
Okay. And so, I mean, before we get into everything, what are your feelings in general on what's been going on the past couple, or I guess week and a half at this point?
I mean, it's depressing, right? There's no sane way to say that times are good right now.
Yeah.
Honestly, do I still love this country? Of course, I took an oath. I believe in everything I said. But to see the direction we're going in, the way we're tearing each other apart, it's disheartening.
Yeah, it has to be extra tough for you because you did serve. And, I mean, you swore to uphold an oath to the Constitution, and now you're watching... I feel like bit by bit, from a civilian standpoint, things just seem to be getting eroded and eroded and eroded. And it's hard to hope that we'll come back from it. But I feel like for me, these protests really are giving me hope that there is a genuine groundswell of populist movement in this country that really does care about what we were founded on and what we can be as a nation instead of necessarily what we are right now.
Hey, you know what? Something else.
Did we lose him?
We lost you a little bit. You still?
Nope. Brandon, you still got him? Hear me now?
Yeah.
We got you. We got you.
All right. Sorry about that, guys. Hey, anyway.
It's probably on our end. You're good. Yeah. It's a very complicated setup over here. It's a lot of lights and switches.
A lot of electrical tape.
We're
and
not really sure what we're doing entirely. So
that makes four of us.
So Darren, just because our podcast airs about a week after we record it, so this episode will come out next Sunday from where we're at. It's June 4th. Like Jay said, this stuff's been going on for this. By stuff, we mean the George Floyd incident, which obviously is stirred up a hornet's nest of activity across the nation. And we're about 2 weeks in, and I don't think anyone has a good idea of how we can handle it at this point. But I think the big thing right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Donald Trump has been talking about bringing in the military to assist and police in this. Now, I'm always a little concerned when we talk about bringing in a nation's military to take action against its civilians. That's a little scary. What are your feelings on that?
I'm also scared. So, I mean, legally, there's, and I won't get into, because I'm not a constitutional lawyer. When I worked in national disaster recovery, I dealt with these a lot. There's a couple of laws. You'll hear in the news talk about Posse Comitatus and Insurrection Act. And the long and short of it together, what those two do is they make the federal government kind of like a vampire, right? You like can't come in unless you invite them in. Exactly. But so there's one big exception to that, and that's if they declare an insurrection. And what that means is the federal government is actually overriding the authority of a state. And this like dates back to the Civil War, and basically saying, nope, sorry, I'm invading this state. And it's tenuous. Like, is it legally justified? I mean, that's a debate for lawyers. Is it morally justified? I mean, I sure have my opinions on that, you know, and frankly, the whole thing scares me.
It seems to me, especially like as I was a former conservative, this is like the nightmare scenario for me, especially as like during the Obama years when Fox News was training us to believe that like
Jade Helm,
Obama was going to use the military.
He's going to take our guns.
So it's like, it's just so weird to me to see that like now it's on the other foot and the left in general and moderates, I guess as well are now like, it's the conservatives who actually seem to be almost launching, I don't want to call it a coup, but it's a huge infringement on states' rights.
It's
100%. I just don't get how, like, as the same former conservative, you can sit by and, like, believe in, like, yeah, small government, yeah, you know, like, less power, and then sit back and watch this happen and go, wait, hold what?
Well, Darren, here's what I thought was interesting and what I wanted to get your thoughts on in particular, because obviously, as the weeks have progressed, we've seen how a number of police, at this point, there have been protests in all 50 states. We've seen how the police have been reacting to this across various states and cities and protests. Some police have acted with a certain amount of grace and understanding. Some police have not. So considering, I should say, by the way, that last time, and Darren, I should catch you up. Last time we met, I had not seen the George Floyd video
Dave was
or
like,
any of the material. These guys had to see, I'm not on social media and I don't watch the news. So these guys literally came over like 3 days later and were like, dude, what do you mean you don't know what's going on? And so I was like, it's probably just people are locked in their houses, probably getting worked up. Obviously, it's bad, but it can't be that bad. And then I watched the video the next day, and I was like, whoa, this is like, so we can talk about that later. But what I was curious about from your perspective is the police who are not doing such a good job, I'm wondering if there aren't certain segments of the U.S. military after what we've been basically like policing actions we've been doing for the past 20 years, who actually may be better trained to handle this type of thing than what we've seen from some of these police. I was curious as your thoughts on that.
So, I mean, I'm a huge bias source, right? You're going to go to a military guy who did stability operations and say, hey, are you better at stability operations than the police are?
That's why I'm asking you.
But kind of, yeah. No, I mean, as objective as I can say, we had this silly saying. It was called the strategic corporal, and a whole lot, like, corporals are not strategic. They're like lower level enlisted.
It's the strategic
and so
what?
The whole
I'm sorry.
Idea was that strategic corporal.
Corporal. Okay,
so,
like the rank.
Like the whole idea is that one little enlisted guy, you know, that can have this butterfly effect where they fuck up and they shoot someone or they, commit a war crime, and that it'll ripple through and just cause massive civil unrest and result in massive strategic failure as this whole country devolves into violence and terrorism.
It sounds really familiar.
Oh, yeah, doesn't it? And that's exactly what is playing out, 100%. And it's just, it's infuriating, because I even had former soldiers that came back and became police, and were basically, like, radicalized by their police force and are now parroting, you know, the same nonsense, you know, which is completely opposed to everything we stood for and, you know, when we were wearing the uniform.
Wow.
So in a situation like that where you have police forces that are, whether it's through training or mentality or what, they're not acting in a way that, I mean, that I would think would be reasonable to act as a civilian. And again, not all police. There's some police who are acting great. There was that one guy who came down and he was like, "We're going to put the batons down and we're going to march
out
with you
Flint,
guys."
I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, right. So there are police who are doing their very best. So I don't want to make a blanket statement against all police. But considering the fact that we do have a situation where some of these police are clearly being ineffective, and to the point where they are having this butterfly effect that you're talking about, where they're doing things that are having, you know, infractions that are having wide-reaching negative, you know, blowback. Are there? I mean, could you do this better? Is what I'm asking you. With your training,
I mean, me personally, no. Well, now I'm fat and old, and like, you know, the only thing I'm about to lead is myself to it, you know, out of, you know, the dinner table. But like, it's not hard it's straightforward. It's not sneaky at how to figure this out. You don't, you know, we've written books and manuals and like treatises on how to do stability operations. Like if you go read Petraeus's, basically dissertation, the counterinsurgency field manual, it lays out in like painstaking detail exactly what to do to pacify a population, which is not break things and kill people. It's win hearts and minds. Yeah. And it's straightforward, right? You go out, you humanize yourself, you stop becoming the enemy, you stop brutalizing people, you figure out what they need, and you deliver to their communities.
And
it's not hard.
Amen.
And that's what it seems to me is, like, I'm watching day after day in these major cities, the cops become more and more, like, they look like fucking stormtroopers, man. Yeah. Like, the NYPD last night was wearing literal, like, full armor, like strap around and a mask, and like they're covering their badge numbers and they're covering their names, and
that's crazy.
And they're getting
So they're not wearing body cams?
Nope.
Well,
Watchmen much?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, they see themselves as like it's the Punisher on there, yep. Like, you know.
Don't even get me started on the Punisher. QAnon and all that.
it just seems like to me they're doing the exact opposite, and like they're getting a bottle thrown at them. And then they're just literally bashing heads in and tear gassing entire populations. And to me, like, I'm a huge fan. And you've seen me post on Facebook, Darren, you know, I'm a big populist kind of guy. But like, if you wanted to stop a populist uprising, it would seem to me that radicalizing thousands of people a day by gassing them is not the way to go about it.
Are you saying that they're not trying to stop this, Jay? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, totally. Well, maybe not to that. I don't buy conspiracy theories because I think the government is a little too shitty at its job to actually get away with anything.
Agreed.
But that's what I think.
Yeah, you're right.
It just seems like it's so like the I don't understand this kind of stuff. Like, you know, I'm not an expert, but it's like, dude, if I were out there and I was just like regular, you know, middle of the road, enlightened centrist guy, but like, hey, you know, racial equality matters. I'm going to go out and march. And then all of a sudden I got tear gassed and shot at by rubber bullets. I feel like the next day, I'm going to be pretty fucking radicalized against the police.
So when I went through Army Officer Basic, you learn all your combat tactics, and we call them battle drills, where you work out a scenario and you relentlessly rehearse it over and over till you can't forget it, till it just becomes muscle memory. And one of the ones we used to do was the meeting the local town leader, where you'd go in and do a security patrol, not to go in and blow everything up and shoot everyone, but to sit down with like the sheikh or the tribal leader or, you know, the mufti, depending what culture you're talking to, and say, hey, what's going on? And like, do you take your body armor off, set up security, meet, you know, like sit down, have tea, meet your people, become them, learn what they want. And that's how you do this. You don't, you know, like, there's literally a book written that says, like, take off your sunglasses, let them see your face, yeah. Take your helmet off, chat with people, become human, because this is just counterproductive.
And that's what I think this country is lacking, is governing or is policing from the community and getting to know that community, understanding. And I think that's severely lacking, especially in inner city police departments, as we've seen. But
yeah,
I think that would be a big step. Yeah, there's an inequality story here too, right? Which is that police no longer are of the same economic class as the communities they police, so they don't live in their community anymore, right? You go to downtown DC, and your DC cops can't afford to live in DC.
Right,
they've been priced out. Well-to-do suburbs, same thing. Poor inner cities, you know, their own citizens can police them anymore, and I think that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I was reading.
You're creating moral hazard.
I was reading last night, or I've heard from Robert Evans, who, if you haven't listened to Robert Evans, everybody, you should check out his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Follow him on Twitter. He's a phenomenal journalist. And he's in Portland right now, and he said that he was making the joke that the outside agitators are the police, because 82% of the Portland police force is from outside of Portland. So, and that was such a striking statistic to me.
Wow.
Like, they're just not in there. Like, what impetus do you have to police well if you can just, like, go back to your suburb? And, like, even Chauvin from Minneapolis, like, where did he go? He went to his second house in Florida. Like, after
well, here's
this.
Another problem you're going to have, which is a lot of these people, I mean, how are you going to get police from these communities now?
Well, I mean,
you don't have a lot of young people in these communities right now today who are like, I think I should become a cop.
Well, I think that's going to be, that's a process that's going to, there needs to be... like healing that needs to be done first yeah. before that even is even broached. But I agree that is an issue that we need to tackle.
I mean, you could even start
talking
looking
about
into
a long-term solution to, I mean, we do need more cops from these communities.
Yeah.
Right. You can start looking into legislation that, like, they do it in Jersey with teachers, and you would have to target it towards cities instead of states. But, like, to teach in New Jersey, you have to live in New Jersey.
If there's anything I've learned from UJ, it's that I don't want to do anything that New Jersey teachers union is already doing. It's all very suspect.
Oh, we're the last good union left.
Hey, guys, that's a raw scar for me.
But I mean, if you start legislating stuff like that, this is going to have to be. I mean, you're talking full systemic overhaul. I don't think there's one easy solution to this problem. And
absolutely. This is long and it's painful, and you're talking about redesigning the system. Or we could just say fuck it and, like, ignore this. I'll go right back to normal.
That's what I'm very worried about.
I was worried about that at first, but it seems like these things are getting bigger and bigger every day. And I mean, Brandon and I went to one in Hackettstown. Must have been hundreds of cars just processed through, and then you saw everybody coming out of their houses.
That was what blew me away.
In our hometown, and with their, coming out with homemade signs and everything, and, like, to see that, because, we're all from the same place, and we know kind of the attitude, the prevailing sentiment from our hometown is not necessarily the most tolerant. And to see that, it's starting to reach the suburbs, and it's starting to reach rural areas.
Yeah.
I mean, and that, I think, is really heartening, because not only are more people coming out in the cities every day, you're starting to get more and more suburban stuff, and that's a huge thing for this movement.
I hope so, man. But I'll tell you what, like, especially moving down, I'm here in Virginia, and seeing parts of the South and everything, like, not to vastly generalize, but, like, so my sister-in-law, she's white, has a black son. Goes to, rural school district. And, like, I still hear stories of, like, other kids go up to him and said, hey, my parents told me I'm not allowed to talk to you. Jesus. Like, it's still alive out there. It really is.
First of all, they're disobeying their parents.
They
told them not to talk to that kid. And these are bad kids from the get-go.
And we had talked about this at
our... parents.
We had talked about this in our last union meeting. We met on Monday. We had talked about how we need to... as educators, really work to change the curriculum, because we teach, and I'm sure you guys remember, you learn Martin Luther King gave the I Have a Dream speech, they passed the Civil Rights Act, and okay, racism is over.
Done.
Hooray!
And it's not. It's just not, and we sanitize. I think sanitize is probably the word I want to use. And we just kind of say, like, we teach the kids, that's what we teach them, and it's through no fault of, I don't think there's any malicious intent in teaching the curriculum that way. But I think we need to take, as educators, a long, hard look to really figure out a way to work in, hey, Civil Rights Act was huge. Dr. King was huge.
The fight ain't over.
But the fight is still not over, and we're still fighting.
So what you're saying is this is mostly your fault.
To kind of take, totally. But to take their side too, right? You know, I wonder if we just didn't know, right? You know, this wasn't the age of the internet. We were much less informed.
I think that's a big part of it.
I think we did the best we could.
Yeah, you know, you're not wrong there, I think. Yeah, we didn't have that information. It's not like, you know, if this had happened 20 years ago, you're right.
Nothing would have happened.
Nobody would have known.
No.
If this had happened?
If the George Floyd incident.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have heard about it.
You wouldn't have caught it on film.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we're being faced
every
with...
Every man, woman, child has a camera in their pocket now.
We're being faced with what has existed there already, for sure. But now we're being faced with it every day through social media.
And I think it's on us who work in any type of public service field. It's on us as you know, white people in general to maybe help others who are unwilling to open their eyes to the truths, the uncomfortable truths,
and
by no fault of their own. Because like you said, we were raised without, you know, we grew up without the internet. It was a whole different time. And, but I think it's...
We all grew up in great Happy Valley where, you know, everything was happy, wonderful. Yay, hooray.
I mean, I had a real tough conversation with my dad a couple of days ago about not necessarily this, but more the Trump stuff. But I think it's time we have to have those conversations, and it's incumbent on us to affect change wherever we can, because it's one thing if they're just ignorant of the situation. It's another thing if it's malicious. And
what would you like to change?
What would I like to change?
Mm-hmm.
If I could change one thing?
No, I mean, you got a magic wand. You could change anything. I mean, within reason. You can't make everybody black to eliminate racism. That would be... Because if you were gonna, you'd just make everyone white anyway.
I want to.
Oh God, Dave. Oh God. Sorry, we called you Darren. Sorry.
welcome to the cool zone here, Darren. I think. God damn, that's so hard. I don't know if I want to be like a class reductionist in this, but I think income inequality is something we would need to address, because that's, you know, contributing to the gentrification of our neighborhoods. And I think I'd like to change. Policing needs an overhaul in general. There's just so much.
It's a complicated problem. It's going to take a very long time to unwind, if at all.
Yeah. I think I would like to get rid of Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and figure out a way that we could get some sort of nonpartisan news source almost. I mean, the BBC leans a little right wing, I guess, but...
There's like Reuters, but they're just they're wired.
I mean,
they're not.
I mean, we've got C-SPAN, but it's so damn boring. No one wants.
That's the thing. Nobody wants. Yeah, like.
What are you going to replace them with, though?
Well, the system that the Brits use is more of like the Brits, for example, revoked Fox News' broadcasting license a couple of years ago because they were publishing just because of all the bullshit they were spewing. I don't know how you do it. That's the thing. That's a tough thing to do. But I think the hyperpartisan media. On both ends, I do think Fox News is way worse than CNN and MSNBC, but CNN and MSNBC have their issues as well. I think we've got to figure out a way to deal with that. And I really don't know what that way is, but I think that just amplifies partisan divides. I mean, when you've got the President of the United States literally getting his news and talking points from Tucker Carlson, the white nationalist.
Trucker carburetor.
Like, it just... That just worries me, and it worries me that people are just unwilling to listen.
So, but what are you? What I'm trying to get at is, what are you protesting for?
Oh, currently.
Well, yeah, I guess currently, but overall, in general, like, it doesn't have to be like tomorrow.
I think the movement has started laying out some demands, and that is
One is Civilian Oversight Board,
Oversight Board of Police,
end the militarization, and like reduce their budgets for military spending.
It's revocation of got qualified immunity.
Yeah. I heard licensing. That was a good one.
Licensing.
Like, we have to license hairstylists. Yeah. I think we should license police officers.
And then
I was like,
a mandated law for body cams always being on.
I think
those were the five NAACP ones.
Yeah. I've seen a list of five demands as well. It's similar.
And I think that's a good point to
start.
Those
are all pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the more extreme ones that I've seen are, you know, like completely defund police, abolish it and start over. Maybe
that's insane.
Maybe there's something to be said there. I don't know if completely defund.
We have police now and they're burning things down. You want to completely eliminate police?
So I'll give you guys an interesting viewpoint on that one. Back to military stability and, you know, civil operations. One of the biggest failures we did in Iraq was when we showed up, we disbanded the Iraqi army completely, 100%. We said, you no longer exist. Mm. All you guys with military tactics and guns are now unemployed.
Yeah.
And that turned out real. That turned out real well.
Yeah.
They didn't turn against you, did they?
Well, they, why would they? They would
no,
never.
No, not at all. No.
You mean to tell me when you take everybody's job and lock them in their house, they might get pissed off?
Just a little. That doesn't sound anything like now.
I don't see any parallels, Darren. Your insights are invalid and unrelated. Go on.
I think.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
And what do you think, you know, because you served and you've worked with all this hardware, what do you think of the militarization of the police forces? Because it just seems, it's just some of the shit they're coming out with, man, seems insane to me. How do you feel about that?
So at best, it's a completely counterproductive. At worst, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah. About right.
It seems like at worst, it's like arming them for, an insurrectionist movement almost, like...
When your police become the military, suddenly the citizenry become the enemy of the state.
Exactly.
That's just the natural way it happens.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these interviews on the street are, I'm hearing from a lot of these people on the street, is that like they're in these big cities, they don't view the police as part of the community.
They feel like they're invading.
They feel like it's an invading army. And those are the words I'm hearing. And like that's a huge issue. Like I've never had a huge run-in with cops because, you know, our cops in our town are just... You know, they're going to pull you over for speeding and then, you know, tell you your light's out.
Have you ever been arrested?
No.
I have.
Me too.
Yeah.
Darren, have you ever been arrested? No one's listening to this podcast.
No. All right, it's just me and Dave.
He says no, sure. Okay, so Darren's never been arrested. Got it.
I'm not quite sure how, but shockingly, I never have. So, you know.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a fun experience.
No, I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Did they brutalize you?
Not physically, Jay.
Mentally.
Right.
It was messed. Mine was messed up, but that's a whole other story altogether. But
and that to me we can't. I've never been like seen the cops as my friends, because like you always kind of, I feel like you're always, even if you are friends with cops, it's like I'm driving, they're not there, they're not sitting on the side of the road to pull me over and say, hey Jay, have a good day, like, hey, you're doing a great job driving there, Jay, you keep up the good work.
They do tend to forget that serve part of protect and serve.
Yes, they do.
And the protect part. Yeah.
So it's like there's always going to be an adversarial mindset. We just grew up in a town where it didn't matter that much, and the worst that they were going to do to us for the most part was give you a ticket or bust up a party.
Right, well, when the tools you have are hammers and everything's a nail.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we give them all this stuff and we train them to act in a certain way. And then we expect them to act differently. So that's why I think a lot of those demands were actually fairly reasonable. I don't know that any of them is going to stop racism, but it's certainly going to stop a militarization of the police force.
I think
or help.
Stopping racism is I think there's this movement.
Well, you're never going to stop racism.
You're never going
You're done already.
I think you can educate more.
Yes.
And I think like that's got to be the goal of this. I think that's where I think really the schools.
Man, you think education will help? You think like people who are really racist, it's just because like they were like no one told them black people were cool.
Well, no. So that I think is a different. I think that it has a little bit to do with us in school, like not doing our best to educate, because I do run into, and maybe they're all in bad faith, but I do think some are in good faith, where
somewhat.
They're like, you know, racism doesn't exist anymore. You know, how can, you know, it's the 2020s. We beat racism. We had Obama.
No, I don't think racism doesn't exist anymore. But here's the thing. I do understand what someone who says that is trying to say.
Right. That's what I mean.
We do have Obama. First of all, having Obama makes racism seem stupid, because like if you can be president of the United States and be black, like how many KKK like members are sitting in their living room being like, well, I could be president. That's nothing. Like yeah. You're already full of shit right there. So you're an idiot. But like when I think we've taken a lot of, I don't like the term institutional racism, because I think we've taken a lot of the racism out of institutions. When we have like Jim Crow laws, like that was institutional racism. There was racism. It was institutionalized. We had laws on the books
right.
for how we were going to be racist against people. I think a lot, and some institutional racism does exist. Let me just say that right off the bat, because I think a lot of times, let's say you're in your patrol room and your sergeant is giving out assignments, and he's like, and we all know what to do if we get somebody who's
you know, got a little bit too much of a tan. And then they all laugh. That's institutional racism. It's racism that's being projected downstream mm-hmm. in the institution. But I think a lot of racism is just asshole racist people.
No, and I agree
with
you.
Who are in positions of power where they get to make decisions over people. And so it's not necessarily institutional. It's just like, we got to be like, hey, there's a racist guy.
Yes. No, and that's what I mean. And that's what I was saying before, where as white people, we got to call it out. Like, yeah, that's absolutely on us. Because I was talking to another friend who we grew up with, who's a person of color. And she was saying, like, she can't, because there was a dude being racist on her post, and I just went in on him. And she was saying, like, you know, I can't do that because as a black woman, like, I just get called, it just reinforces the stereotype that they have of me. So thanks for, like, and it wasn't just me. There were a few of us who went in and, like, dogpiled on this dude. But, like, that's where we as white people can be allies. We can be the ones, because if we say it, and this guy didn't talk shit to me. He talked shit to her the whole time. Wow. He didn't talk shit to me.
Well, because you're white.
Because I'm white.
He knows you can handle yourself.
Jesus Christ.
From his point of view. God, you guys are so sensitive. Jesus.
And I think another big thing is, you know, when you grow up in a town like we grew up in these, like, all white towns, you never have, it's very easy to view anybody else as the other. And that's why, you know, a lot of times you see you go to college and people get more liberal when they go to college, because they're suddenly forced to be around people of different color, people of different orientation.
See, I had the exact opposite experience, though. Like, growing up, we didn't have a lot of black people in our school. I probably had, like, 3 black kids in our grade of maybe, like, 300 or something. But then I just assumed that, like, black people were fine. Because why wouldn't you? Like, black people are like other people. Like,
I'm making a generalization. Yeah,
yeah. And then you go to college, and I met, like, a bunch of black people, and the majority of my friends in college were black. And I was like, yeah, just like I thought. You guys are all right.
Yeah.
I think, yes. I think
I'm talking for the more conservative.
We're talking, we're talking people who maybe didn't grow up thinking that.
Oh, you think maybe, like, people who grew up in, like, the Virginias of the world. Darren, where you see it, like, down there.
No, it's people who were maybe, you know, raised with racist ideologies. The only way to really fix that is exposure. That's my opinion, is exposure. And
I think that's absolutely true. Yeah. That's why I think education is the wrong word. I think exposure is a much better word. Because I don't think you can educate racism out of somebody.
You can expose them to different things in the classroom.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. I guess that's part of education. Sure. Yeah. But I just don't think you could, like, it's not, like, a matter of ignorance.
Right,
people aren't educated.
The core curriculum standard of the students will be able to understand that racism is, don't be racist.
Is that not already in there? Yeah,
there's no final quiz. That says.
Tell me that's not already in there. That should be in there.
No, it's not. It's not in there. It's not a
CCSS. Fucking teachers union. I'm telling you, they're fucking it up. If you could just, it's.
I want to get your thoughts on something that dropped yesterday. So today is June 4th. So June 3rd, there were a string of generals and the highest enlisted, I can't remember the name, and Darren, you could probably tell me, the highest enlisted officer or senior most enlisted officer in the Army said something as well. I can't remember the title for it, but there was a string including
Command Sergeant Major of the Army.
Thank you.
Yeah.
General Mattis, who was Trump's former Secretary of Defense, and he chief among them, wrote an extremely pointed, I would say, and, you know, a very obvious call out of the president and things that have been going on, and then further stated in a separate, you know, on the record to somebody else that, you know, there's more going on, that, like, he has more information to talk about. So, I mean, what do you think about generals coming out and speaking out? It seems to me like, and, you know, I've only been alive for 35 years. I've never seen anything like that.
Can we get clarification on what he said? Because I have no idea.
I'll pull it up.
Okay. Darren, anyway, do you know what was said?
Yeah, no, I posted it on Facebook, actually. I shared the letter there. And so basically what he said was, and I'm going to paraphrase and probably butcher it too.
It's all right. Jay's going to pull it up so we don't, you know, make you sound like an idiot.
So he can push his glasses up and be like, well, actually.
You got it.
But. Yeah, it was a gross condemnation of what's going on, and basically saying, hey, this use of military force is an egregious, you know, stretch of what is considered constitutional, and it's frankly unconstitutional use of force. It's making our citizenry the enemies of the state, and it's just wrong.
I It's big though. Now, for him to come out. That was that was.
Who was that?
I believe he was also wasn't he a former? I know he worked for Obama as well.
He was under the Obama administration. Yeah.
So he was. There's a interesting story there with General Mattis. So actually, a random fun fact. He was the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq while I was in Iraq. Ah. And so for a podunk little, for a podunk little lieutenant who, like, if I were on the chessboard, I'd be the pawn because that's how totally expendable I was. For him to even know who that dude is by name, like, tells you something. And, like, we respected him like no one's business. And what no one talks about in the media is the reason this guy was so famous amongst his troops wasn't for, like, the crazy military bravado of, you know, the classic speech of be polite, be courteous, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet. He said that. That's true. But his extreme cultural understanding and cross-cultural understanding of how to prosecute and fight a war and how to work with people that are totally unlike you. And he really understood the enemy there and understood how to pacify them, that hearts and minds were important, that, you know, you can't break things. Like, literally, what I'm just saying, I'm just parroting the command memos from Mattis. That's literally what I'm telling you guys and my opinions there. So he's something of a legend amongst military troops, especially those who served under him.
And that's what I heard today too. I was watching a video on it, and the person in the video said, like, this is the kind of guy who could, you know, raise an army with a tweet. He's got, like, everybody is that loyal to him.
That's
you know?
Disturbing.
But
so we went, like, you joke about this, but we went through and, like, amongst other members of the military, and, like, it was kind of a joke, kind of not really. We said, like, hey, if Mattis right now told you to take up arms and overthrow Trump via Article 25, would you do it? And we all kind of looked around. We're like, yeah.
I'll clap for that.
I feel like I should bleep that out, but all right. Hey, I'll leave it in.
And that's what it seems like, is that this is, and that's what I'm wondering, because I think that we've heard some condemnations from former officers before of Trump specifically, but
this is a bombshell.
This is huge, and to me it seems huge, and I'm wondering if you think it's going to have a big impact with the troops. I mean, because he says right here, it's like, never did I dream the troops taking, or I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Never did I dream that the troops taking that same oath would be ordered under any circumstances to violate constitutional rights of their fellow citizens, much less to provide a bizarre photo op for the elected commander-in-chief. But he calls it out right there. He's saying what Trump is doing is, in his opinion, is unconstitutional. And to me, that's huge. So do you think that sways... Let's say Trump does actually go through with this order, and he deploys troops to states other than D.C. because he has that bizarre... Because D.C. is not a state. He has that bizarre jurisdiction there. But do you think that having someone like Mattis make that denouncement is going to change some minds of troops who are going to say, like, you know, I'm not following an illegal order? This is an illegal order?
You know, I worry that we're in a post-fact society here, and people have been so trained to not believe what they hear in the news. I worry that, like, people are just going to double think themselves into ignoring it. That scares me. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I expect.
That's a problem that a lot of people don't want to admit.
Yeah, because I already Fox News is spinning it. Like, I've seen, like, you know, he was a terrible jit, blah, blah, blah. Like, just doing smear job after smear job on this dude. And
oh, yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. There's too many of these fucking people out here doing things and doing and making statements. Because I've heard Mattis and I've heard Petraeus. And I know I'm supposed to feel some kind of way about both of them. And I don't know, because I don't remember these fucking... Someone said something about Obama and maybe got fired. And I don't know.
Well, even the Esper, he walked it back yesterday. But the current Secretary of Defense was basically like, no, I don't agree with this. This doesn't seem right.
Well... This has been done a number of times before by various presidents. There's precedent for it. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea.
No.
No.
Absolutely.
The military?
Yeah, usually in situations just like
Kent
this.
State, yeah.
I don't know if
but Rodney King as well too.
Yeah,
Rodney King was also was
the
right.
But they were the Insurrection Act.
They were in, was it that the Insurrection Act, or were they invited by the governor?
I think it was the Insurrection Act. I mean, according to the Gospel Wikipedia and my really shitty memory.
Okay.
There's a perfect example. It's not totally unheard of. I don't know if it's a good idea, but the idea that it's unconstitutional seems a bit of a stretch.
Well, so...
Or else all those other times were unconstitutional.
Here's where I kind of get on Team Mattis. And again, full disclosure, I'm a huge Mattis fanboy. Yeah. But if... the unconstitutional stretch there is that the reasons the federal government can invade via the Insurrection Act are, and here's where it gets scary. One of them is a pandemic.
Epidemic.
Yeah, epidemic is literally line item in there. But it's things like to restore order. In the event that a state cannot to put down a legitimate insurrection, and so that's you get into this like tenuous, scary situation of is he really within the law or is he? And this is what's really fucking scary, and Trump's so good at. He's just in a gray enough region that you can't quite say no. And that's fucking terrifying.
He always uses language of plausible deniability.
Absolutely, that's where politics takes place.
Yeah,
in the gray areas, like there's. Well, go ahead.
But it's like it's this creeping, lowercase bits of fascism that slowly start creeping in. These like little abuses of executive authority that get worse and worse and worse, and then it's the cooked frog thing of the temperature's been turned up so slow, like surprise, now it's capital F fascism, but you didn't do anything, and it's too late.
So you think he's going to call in the military and what, take over the country?
He would just go in and put down the protests and be like, all right, everything's back to normal, and then nothing changes.
Well, I don't think we're talking about, when we're talking about the military, I don't think we're talking about protests. I think we're talking about riots, right? I think there is a clear delineation between people who are peacefully protesting and people who are violently looting.
That's the worry, that clear
delineation is whatever the guy holding the gun says it is.
Precise.
Well, I don't think the police have been good about making that delineation either, but there is a clear delineation. Like, there's... I'm all for protesting and voicing your opinion, your right to freedom of speech. God bless you for doing it. But when you start coming to rioting, there is a certain responsibility you do have to the cities and the residents of them to maintain a certain amount of order. I mean, when you're gaining hearts and minds, were you doing that while they were lighting things on fire? I mean, you stopped the looting first,
no,
right?
No, and the worry is not so much the looting. He literally, it's because like, as in the middle of giving, did you watch the speech?
Did you watch?
No.
You didn't see him with his photo op?
He was
that is like night and day. He literally says, and I'm ordering these troops to clear out protests right now. And he starts fucking walking across the street. And they, like with his word, they start blasting these protesters. And
they were peaceful protesters.
There was no riot.
With what?
With tear gas,
clubs, and
rubber
bullets.
No, I didn't see it at all.
Yeah, there's apparently a helicopter.
One of my friends who lives in D.C. calls me up. He says, you know what Trump just did?
He did this for a photo op to stand in front of a boarded up church and hold a Bible upside down.
Well, at least he brought the Bible.
Yeah. Well, it's a Bible.
So that's
I was a quote. It's a Bible.
That whole story,
which
is
dumb. You're not even like you just say it was your Bible. You're holding it. It's your Bible.
Yeah,
you're an idiot
because he can't not fuck up when he talks.
Yeah, he really
because
like,
he doesn't know what a Bible
is.
This is the first time he's
stupid?
Seen that book.
What if I tell them it's a Bible?
Yeah, real coy, President.
Like, so that's why everybody is like...
Because he displayed a disregard for that delineation you're talking about right then and there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's where the line is drawn.
No way peaceful protesters should... And let me tell you, there is some weird shit going down with, like, the pallets of bricks being delivered.
Oh, hey, it's a suspiciously placed pallet of bricks for you, rioters, to use.
Yes.
Hello, fellow Antifas.
Yes, I am an Antifa. Oh, my God.
That doesn't excuse violence just because there was a brick nearby. You still have the responsibility and onus of a human being
to not
throw a brick.
Just a little weird that the NYPD officers are carrying these big... Did you see? This is my favorite. It's these four, like, blue, obviously NYPD color, like, flip bins full of cinder blocks, and the NYPD is taking them off, and they posted a video, like... removing the bricks that the rioters place. It's like, I too also bring four bins of bricks to every riot or every protest I go to, NYPD. Like,
yeah.
How did they even
wait,
get
were
the
they removing them or bringing them?
Like, seriously.
They weren't removing them, but the conspiracy theory, which I really think is probably not so much a conspiracy theory, is that
I think it's happening.
It was planted and that was a photo op. They're like, oh, now we're going to take them away.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
And
it's a little loose, but there's
just some poor guy who was trying to brick up his business. He's saying, "Fuck, my rich."
Well, it's burned down now, along with all the affordable housing. So, Jesus. No, there's definitely some weird. And this is what I was talking about last week. And listen, I was dead wrong about the George Floyd video, because that was a, we should talk about that, because the egregiousness of that video.
Right.
Let's say there's. Let's say he was resisting arrest. Let's say there's, you know, there's the video where they're taking him to the police car, mm-hmm. and then there's the video that kicks in, I don't know how much later, where he's already on the ground. Let's say that in that period of time, he did something heinous. Like, really, like all right, we got to take this guy down. Let's give that. Then you put him in a poorly executed chokehold for 4 minutes, and he passes out. What are you doing right now?
He's
passed out.
You're murdering him.
So he's no longer resisting arrest.
Yes. Yeah, you don't continue to keep your knee there.
Yeah. Yeah. The video at that point, that's I think when they send this guy to the electric chair, I think I assume you guys don't want him to go to the electric chair because you guys are against the death penalty.
I want him to sit in prison for the rest of his life.
Jay, you are a strong, principled individual there.
And I want him to think about it for every day for 23 hours in solitary confinement, and then have a little fucking pen for him to walk out into for 1 hour a day. And that's all I want. And
so
that's
rehabilitation.
That's what I want the rest of his fucking life to be.
But that's my point. Is that I think when this does go to a jury, because it'll go to a jury, the evidence, like Exhibit A, will be, hey, you see how he's still kneeling on his neck after he's unconscious?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we're just done here.
Yeah. Okay. You can now render your guilty verdict. But that's, yeah, and to your credit, you texted us like immediately after.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You were like,
yeah.
Oh, no, and it was, if you, I don't see how anybody can watch that with reasonably clear eyes.
Yeah.
And say that was anything but a murder. You can say it's premeditated. I guess you couldn't call it premeditated.
You should say allegedly just for legal purposes.
But like that
so,
was.
So can I weigh in on this too?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what has to happen. So having been in some dicey combat situations in my life, and like, I'm no warrior at all, but I've been in a few like pew pew, you know, fire off situations. There's such a psychological toll that a person like has to pay to kill another person. Like it's documented. There's reams of research about this. And the closer you are to someone, the worse that psychological toll is.
Do you mean closer in terms of distance?
Yes.
Like both psychologically and physically.
Okay.
Right. You know, like the most you doing it with your hands is about the worst thing you can get. And the only way you can psychologically survive that is by dehumanizing and completely having no opinion whatsoever of the other person there. You know, they're not a human being. That's it. Like you have to think about that for someone to do that. And you know, that whole time is this guy's begging for help. You know, what he had to imagine he was less than human, that he had no value whatsoever. Right. And that's just like, this is protect and serve, right? That's a sobering thought that our police officers are the ones thinking that.
Yeah. And it's clearly not just him. You know, there were four and, you know, there were three other officers there who did absolutely nothing. What do you think about that? You know, like
that's interesting, too.
That the officers, the other three, and I'm glad they're finally arrested as of yesterday, I believe, and are being charged as accessories. But what do you think about those guys just standing by? Because that's the thing that I'm really having trouble reconciling.
Because there's the one guy, let's call him Short Asian Man, and he's like the face of this video.
He's the face of the accomplices, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's you don't even see much of the whatever the guy's name, the cop who with the knees face. Like, he's looking down most of the time. You see a lot of this blank-faced, short,
just dead-eyed,
very short Asian man. Yeah. And then there's two other guys there, and you don't... I watched the video a week ago, but you don't see a lot of what they're doing, but they're certainly there.
They're just standing there.
Yeah.
I mean, they all kind of helped pin him down at one point. But, I mean, I keep hearing...
It's psychological groupthink.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you get that many people, and no one's in charge, and they're all equally ranked... I mean, like, military does a lot of stupid things, but the one thing we do with the UCMJ is legally, someone is always in charge. And so as soon as someone's in charge, because, you know, then there's decision making, there's a process, you know, someone has to answer something. But when you get a situation like that with four people and if no one's in charge, then no one's fucking in charge, and it's just groupthink and it's mob mentality. And these are the people trying to protect us.
That's it's disturbing, because that's the thing. Like, I hear these, you know, there are good cops. And, you know, I have a friend who's a police officer, but I'm seeing very few, like, I'm seeing very few cops willing to step in and stand up to this. And I get that that's because the FOP and, you know, there's a whole lot of pressure.
A lot are quitting, though.
I have seen some quit.
You know, there's a lot of cops who are standing up and putting out statements. Like the Flint guy.
I mean, like, in terms of even during these protests where, like, you see these cops just brutalizing some of these peaceful protesters. And I'm not seeing any other cops say, hey, yo, knock it off. That's too far.
Well, this is why I objected to the whole use of violence of any kind last week. I'm still not cool with rioting and looting, because it leads to violence begets violence. You've got these protesters. And listen, there was a lot of shit going on. We're never going to know what fully happened. Riots or chaotic events. Somebody used force against somebody first. We're never going to know who. But at the end of the day, Now we've got a situation where we've breached the line between speech and violence, and we're acting violently. And now you've got another force of people who are like, fuck, they're coming at us. We got to come at them. And then the other guys are like, well, fuck, now we got to go at them even harder. And now it's this escalating cycle where we're never going to know what happened, and we're never going to know. I don't know how we resolve it, but people are just going to get hurt.
No, I mean, for Minneapolis, yeah, we're never going to know how that kicked off. But I'm talking about I think the number was 211 as of... There's a dude on Twitter who's keeping track of every video from the protests of an officer who assaults a peaceful protester.
Yes.
And I believe this, as of this morning, the number was like 211 counts of this while other officers are around.
Oh, dude, I'm not even talking about officers versus protesters or protesters versus officers. I'm talking about people, like protesters hurting each other just because of like chaos and violence.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just
that's craziness. That's what kicked off the talk.
I've watched people get hit by cars in the last couple of days. Just not police, not anything. Like, I know people are angry, but I don't know what that guy who got hit by a car did.
Right.
Like, and now we're just in chaos.
And but what I'm talking about is with the cops and like the good cops, right? Everybody's saying there's good cops, but I'm watching scrolling through this thread of 211 videos of civilians who are peacefully protesting getting the shit kicked out of them by cops. And I'm not seeing other good cops who are coming. I've seen one, and it was in Atlanta. And to her credit, I don't know the officer's name, fucking ripped the other officer off him and fucking just gave him the business.
Well, listen, man, it takes a lot of bravery to do that to somebody you work next to. And I just don't think a lot of these people are the caliber of individual. They were like, hey, the police job comes with a pension. Like, I just don't think these are the caliber of individual. It needs to be harder to become a cop.
I was going
to
say, Darren, like...
For sure.
How hard... I mean... I don't know, because you know you're obviously not a cop, but you went through basic and
you're
all
close
that.
Enough. Like, this might be your fault, Darren.
Could you compare the training for us that you received versus the training a police officer would receive? And I mean, because you both are the militarized state that we're in, like you're authorized to use kind of similar amounts of force. You probably have more deadly ordnance at your fingertips, but compared to the rest of us, you know.
Well, I mean, I think. Like, in terms of time of training, I'm pretty sure I got a lot longer training than any cop ever did, you know, before they actually, you know, got on the beat, right? You know, because I did ROTC in school, so I did 4 years of that. And then I did, you know, 6 months of officer basic. Then I did, before I deployed overseas, another 4 months intensive train up. And so it's the time you spend, and again, it's this drilling aspect of relentlessly drilling into your head, use the least amount of force, only shoot until you know you have to, like, you know, meet with locals, win hearts and minds, and literally that is just drilled into you till you can do nothing else, compared to the relatively smaller amount of police force training, almost all of which revolves around using your firearms and marksmanship. Yeah, with
which
a few legal breaches
terrible
here and there. Oh God! Don't even get me started.
Yeah, they're awful.
We've taken firearms away from people that shoot as well as cops do, because like you are going to get us.
If you look at the average,
shoot one of us in the neck.
They're like, oh my God! No wonder they shoot so much. They can't hit anything.
I
could go on a dissertation about that, but no, it's this lack of and with how we train, right? You know, I think it's acculturation issue. You acculturate your force by relentlessly drilling the right behaviors, by reinforcing the right leadership, by, I mean, in the military, it's you know, we call it indoctrination for a reason. We completely rewire you to think like a soldier, which is Geneva Convention, you know, do you obey orders, chain of command, someone's always in charge. These are things that just become second nature to you. And cops, I don't think, get that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, even my buddy's NYPD, and like he went through a few months training, and that was it. And
it's way too easy. It's a lot of physical training too.
Yes, that's
like
that's
you
got to
pass physicals and shit. That's not the important part of being a cop.
I mean,
it
took me
a big psychological aspect that needs to be.
Took me 4 years to be a teacher. Like I had to go.
Yeah, and you're
years
still bad at it.
I mean, yeah, I'm terrible. I'm atrocious. But like it just and I don't even get a gun with my job,
which we should talk about
off air. We're already on a list.
There's only more reasons to have a gun these days, Jay. Really there's are. Only more.
I do want to
so
talk.
I'm an avowed believer of the Second Amendment, and the thought of any of you guys with guns fucking terrifying.
well, Darren, I mean, you should probably be terrified then.
yeah. These two want guns.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
Jesus.
My stance has evolved. When did we have our last gun debate? Probably in like October.
Oh, I don't know.
It was less than a year ago.
It was before, I guess, quote unquote, more important things were happening.
But
I don't know.
Before the nightmare.
I was kind of your basic.
You guys remember coronavirus?
It's. I saw a great meme. It was like, I can't believe coronavirus lost to racism 24-3.
It's just insane. Because what was the thing before that? Wasn't there a thing before that we should have all remembered?
The impeachment.
Iran.
Yeah, there's other stuff, right?
Yeah. That's...
Before that, there was other stuff.
Let me clue you into this thing called hypernormalization.
Yeah, this is what people... and
it's working great.
At
it's
first,
awful.
Like, I didn't...
I don't know if there's any way around it.
We can't go back. There's no normal anymore.
No. And we all keep looking for it.
But there's no normal, and you shouldn't ever accept. And that's what I heard a lot of after 2016, after the election, was don't let this become normal.
Exactly.
Don't let this become normal. Yes. Don't let this become normal. Don't let being gaslit become normal. And this is where, when you let being gaslit become normal, this is where we are as a country, where you have 35-40% of the population doesn't believe the president used tear gas on a group of peaceful protesters, when literally the report on the whole incident says he used fucking tear gas.
Well, part of the problem is they've been talking about President Trump for the past 6 years, and everything the man does constantly. I mean, listen, there's a lot to talk about, but at some point you're just like, you discount all of it.
Well, Matt,
you're just like, he did what? Okay. Well, he did something crazy last week, right?
Yeah. We're like abused people.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't want to call it crying wolf, because some of it is legitimate complaints, but like, you got to pick your battles. Because if you battle on everything, then it's when somebody says, oh, and he used tear gas on civilians, you're like, yeah, but I heard that he used tear gas on immigrants, and that apparently is like something that every president has done. And like, so I don't know. Is this really a big deal? And then you have to look into it to realize that it might be a big deal. But most people don't have time for that. They just, they're going about their day, and they're like, it's a Trump thing. This guy's fucking nuts.
Like Darren was saying, post-fact world. Like, this is where we live in. And that's one of the more scary parts. And we have to tackle it. Like,
It's unfortunate. Trump called it. It's called fake news.
God damn it, Dave.
It's the same thing. Living in a post-fact world is fake news.
Yeah.
Alternative facts, man.
They're both right. They're just both doing it.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
The news and Trump. They're both fake, and they're both right.
And that's
about each other.
And this is literally, when you look back, and I think we talked about this during the impeachment trial, this is what Fox News was designed for. This is what, this was what Roger was Ailes, right?
Yes,
he was literally on record as saying, you know,
we need a Republican mouthpiece.
We need a mouthpiece. This is so like we'll never have another Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Fox News was designed, implemented, and has been centered 100% around making sure that a Republican president and Republican, you know, leaders will never face any sort of scrutiny like that from a nation again.
Which was the unavoidable side effect of having an entirely left-sided news media.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. Yeah.
I mean, I don't say I like it, but we've all seen the news media is like slanted left.
Yeah.
I mean, the vast
majority.
I think it slants
liberal. I mean, but you know, I delineate.
We use those terms differently.
Yeah. I delineate liberal and left, but I know what you mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And again, not necessarily
a good
thing.
For Christ's
sakes,
what even is a Republican anymore, right? Is that even a thing?
I don't even know.
I don't know what a Democrat is either, because I used to be one, and I don't recognize a lot of shit. And Jay used to be Republican, and he doesn't recognize a lot of shit.
Yeah. No.
So it's very weird. It's a very weird time to find a home for yourself, which I think, I mean, might be a good sign, because maybe we're done with this two-party nonsense that
we keep doing.
I don't know. Getting a third party off the ground doesn't seem as impossible as it used to be.
We're hoping. I mean, I don't even know. We don't even know what we're going to be looking at in the election. But I mean, we need something. We need
Joe Biden's running.
I'm voting for him now. I was gonna.
Voting for him?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'll probably go canvass for him at this point. Like, there's.
Finally gotten over the glorious Bernie revolution?
Listen, we're in the middle of another revolution right now, Darren.
What changed?
Too busy for two.
What changed your mind to voting Joe Biden? Yeah.
You're not wrong.
When I woke up on Sunday as a terrorist.
Oh, because you participated in some sort of thing? Because
I identify
I'm anti-fascist.
As anti-fascist, and now anyone in Antifa is a terrorist.
He's trying to.
Well, Antifa is an organization.
No, it's not an organization.
That's all bullshit.
There are local... Yeah,
that's like
groups.
Being like, Al-Qaeda's not an organization. It's various cells of different people operating independently.
Zero effort on this, because the president has zero legal authority to declare a domestic organization a terrorist.
Yeah.
That's all just bullshit. Ignore all of it.
But the ideology of being anti-fascist was what they, and they were also questioning people in the NYPD lockup last night if they have anti-fascist sentiments.
I don't know if there's any legitimacy to that. You can be anti-fascist. There's nothing wrong with that. If you identify with a group called Antifa and you go around wearing like waving a flag and doing things, then you're a member of a group. But you can be an anti-fascist. Everyone I know is an anti-fascist.
I seem to be knowing surprisingly a decent amount of fascists on my Facebook feed.
I've watched a few Indiana Jones movies. Down with Nazis. I'm anti-fascist too, right? Yeah. You know, that's being American.
The original anti-fascists were World War II soldiers. But
the resistance.
Yeah. When they're questioning people and they're going through a precinct and you've arrested people, and like, do you identify as an anti-fascist? If that's a question that's being asked, when I woke up on Sunday and that
it's
came
like
out,
asking someone if they're a communist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly almost like that. Yeah. So that's what, and also I'm a socialist. So like,
So you're already a criminal is what you're saying, Jay.
Yeah.
Thanks guys. The sting is over. We've gotten him to admit it.
In Minecraft.
Darren, we appreciate your participation. This is a long time going operation here.
God damn it. It was a fucking sting the whole time.
We've been playing the long game.
But yeah, so that was when I woke up on Sunday and I was like, oh, cool. I'm a terrorist. Death to America.
That's when you switched.
That's when I was like, all right, voting for Biden. Let me sign up to Phone Bank. Let me sign up to Canvas. Because at this point, it's...
It is about getting him out of office.
It's about getting him out of office.
He's a tyrant.
Because if, you know, maybe he can't legally do it right now, and then on Tuesday, this comes on the heel of the military thing, the military thing comes on the heel of this. So, I mean, you know, if God forbid that happens and all bets are off as to what he can do if he breaks constitutionality on that. So, I think it's time to...
Well, again, the constitution on that is a little hazy.
Right, but...
You think Biden would have done something different?
I'm going to cede to the generals on that, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think Biden would do something different?
I don't think Biden would have...
Biden would have been all over this?
I don't think he would have escalated it like Trump has, sure, 100%. He would have been a bit of a dick about it.
Yeah, you could be like...
But he didn't say...
If you don't vote for me, let me tell you, you're not black.
Yeah.
That was not great. But you know what also wasn't great? Grabbing by the pussy.
He called Charlemagne not black.
I know.
But Trump never claimed to be a guy who wouldn't grab him by the pussy. Joe Biden is he's Joe Biden. I was Obama's, but you know me.
No, I know. And
it's not pleasant.
I mean, and Darren was a Pete guy, so he's not a Biden, you know, stand. Right, you're not going to find any Biden stands in this. In this audience,
but it's the only way out because of our fucking two-party system.
But you know what? I am happy to go pull that Biden lever.
Yeah,
thanks.
Do I love him? No.
No.
Am I happy to vote for him? Not really. Am I gonna?
So wait, Jay, you're not gonna vote third party?
No, I'm gonna vote for Biden.
Oh wow. See,
I'm going to vote
for
Bernie in the New Jersey primary, of course, and then to try to get him some delegates. But then I'm going to vote for Biden in the general. I don't necessarily think his handling would have been phenomenally better than this. I do think that we would have had a lot less of a fucking calamity than
he might not remember it was happening the next day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
what? Is it a problem? Oh, shoot. So wait, hold on. How is this any different than the typical vote blue, no matter who bullshit they try and feed you every year?
How is this any different than that?
Right. Because you got to do it. Otherwise, we're going to have Trump.
It's not. And it's a tragedy that we have to do it. You're right. It is. Yeah, it's a lesser two evils argument. It is. Either way.
Oh, my God. We just every time.
I hate to break it to you, but it's going to be every time for the rest of your life.
And what's interesting is.
Unless you withhold your vote. You can't give these people your votes just because they're the blue guys. Then they don't have to give you nothing.
You're not wrong.
Hypernormalization again, though, right? Yeah, you know, this has never happened before.
This is unprecedented.
This is not normal. You know, it'd be crazy. This is normal. This is
if an insane amount of people voted for a third party.
I just lost Darren.
Yeah.
You guys still here? Yeah. Darren, you still there?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. No, and you're right. This is like, it is an unprecedented thing. And I think, like, yeah, unfortunately, Biden sucks. But to be fair, he is starting. It does seem like, I don't necessarily know if I'd call what he's doing meeting the moment. I read an article on The Hill yesterday that he's really starting to look into more FDR-style policies. And whether or not that comes to pass, he's going to try to get a 100-day plan out. I'm just, I trust him to do more than I would trust
to antagonize.
Trump to do. Yeah, and that's all. That's we need a de-escalator.
We just need somebody who's not fucking antagonizing the populace. That's the
Biden
part.
Biden, he's not an antagonist.
No, he's not. To a fault. Sure, Dave, to a fault. But he's, whatever you feel about him, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in today if he was in office.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that. You don't think so?
I don't. I think he would at least.
You think he could have avoided coronavirus and racism?
Well, I think his response would have been.
Racism didn't start with Donald Trump.
No, that's not at all what I'm saying.
Listen to what Brandon's saying.
I'm listening.
Thank you. I'm just saying that the antagonism wouldn't be there. The goading, the gaslighting, the making you question the news every day, hypernormalization. That is the sort of thing that, as much as he's a slow old motherfucker.
He doesn't have the mental capacity to do it.
He tells people not to vote for him. You don't think that's antagonistic?
Yeah, that is antagonistic. But put that next to all the antagonistic shit Trump has done to the American public, it doesn't even compare, Dave. It doesn't even compare.
I've
been keeping tabs. I haven't had a job. You want to talk?
Glad you're spending your time
keeping tabs. I know you say, like,
score?
It's never really this bad, but like, if you were as tuned in as me, and it's not healthy, but if you were as tuned in as me, you'd see shit is fucked up.
What's the score?
We're losing.
Oh, okay. If we had Obama for another 8 years, we would have solved this problem. If we had Biden, if we had Hillary, I'm sure none of this would have ever happened. Because it wasn't a choice between Biden and Trump. It was a choice between Biden and Hillary. Or Hillary and Trump.
Yes.
But I don't think any of that would have prevented anything.
I'm not going to argue with you and say that it would have prevented
it. We'd be in a situation where we'd be like, yeah, I think the president should declare martial law and bring in the military because, I mean, he's not a tyrant, not like this crazy Trump guy. Get the military in here. We should do that.
I like to think
you can't call that. You can't say that.
This would have never happened if Trump wasn't president.
The language that he uses is not used by, and you. I know you tout him for this sometimes, the language he uses is not used by any other politician and weaponized in the way that he does. He has, since the beginning of all this, either A, disappeared, hid in his fucking bunker, not said a word about it, or strictly antagonized the public. A Southern gentleman, dumbass, blue Democrat Joe Biden would at least be a bit more civil. And I hate that I'm saying that. I hate that I'm calling for civility. But that's
what I feel about
civility.
That's
what it would be. And I would fight you on that right now. If he were the one in there right now, it would be, he wouldn't have prevented it. But in this situation, it would at least be a bit more civil and perhaps there wouldn't be as much looting.
I would imagine
violence.
That by now, if you had a Joe Biden, or not Joe Biden, I should say, Hillary Clinton in the office.
It's quite a lot.
You would have at least...
Thanks.
Your street cred?
Yeah. For what it's worth, I stake it on.
You would have at least had a meeting with some organizers or some activists.
What
something.
Organizers? Where are all the leaders of this event? Where's the Jesse States. Jacksons? Where are all these people?
So, they're out there. The NAACP, BLM chapters. It's being organized. You don't have one figure who's like a Jesse Jackson or an MLK yet.
Exactly.
But there are leaders in this movement who are organizing in local cities. And I mean, we can nitpick all day, but honestly,
he would have at least gone to the table.
Yeah. He would have gone to the table, and there are people to meet with. And the fact
Dave,
that
you got
I
that
don't
smirk.
Know that he would have. He I don't know that he would have.
He absolutely would have.
Joe Biden, he's the big compromiser. He's the upstanding guy.
He
would have brought everybody.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Time out. Joe Biden exactly is absolutely the big compromiser.
No, he's the big
of
corporate
course,
show.
How could you
just
have
like they all are.
Awkward massage and hug without like you know Derek. Meeting with someone, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's literally like he's running on the fact that yes. like I might include Republicans in my cabinet. The dude is literally
he is a compromise.
He is the compromise candidate. As much as I fucking hate to say it, he is like. And I mean, I would imagine, I would hope, and maybe I'm wrong, but we'll never know. That some people would be brought in by now. It wouldn't have taken all of this, and there would have been some sort of conciliatory language, and it just hasn't happened. And the general put it perfectly because there's another line in there that I loved. And I'll pull it up about stoking division and flame.
That's,
and that
that's
was a
the
very
difference.
Powerful line.
Stoking division. I don't know why you don't see that about Donald Trump. He stokes division on purpose.
Yeah.
You don't think Joe Biden does the same thing?
No.
When he talks down to workers.
That wasn't great. And I think
that wasn't like the one time he did it.
So yeah. Donald Trump.
Multiple occasions. He is the most condescending individual of it. Donald Trump at least fucking calls you an asshole to your face.
So Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try. Instead, he tries to divide us. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years of this deliberate effort. We're witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. We can unite without him, drawing on the strengths inherent of our civil society. This will not be easy, as the past few days have shown, but we owe it to our fellow citizens, to past generations that bled to defend our promise, and to our children. And so, I mean, I think that, like, You know, I fucking hate the Democrats just as much as anybody else.
Sure.
But at this point, if it comes down to a choice between fascism and neoliberalism for another 4 years,
yeah,
I'm going to pick neoliberalism. I have to. And I think that's the moral choice. And I'm not going to voter shame you because it's your vote and you know how pissed off
I
was.
I probably just won't vote.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in my mind, that is the moral choice. And I'm going to vote for progressives down ballot.
Okay, listen, I'm not going to begrudge you your decision. I just think we're doing the same thing again, which not for nothing is exactly what I expected. But
yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all.
I just don't think and listen, Donald Trump is definitely he's a loudmouth guy. He does not I would not call him somebody who brings people together. If we had a good orator, say yes. What you like about Obama, his policies, whatever, put all that aside. He was a great speaker.
Yes.
He had a way of bringing people together. If we had an Obama in the White House, there might be a chance this does not turn out the way it did. I don't think Joe Biden has the street cred and the strength to bring people. Like, I don't know how you guys imagine this going down. It's just like there were like a bunch of people
I
were going to riot.
Like,
and Joe Biden was like, we should talk about it.
People
and
of color are already willing to talk to Joe Biden. And you can say it's because he was Obama's VP or yeah. not, but they are willing to be in the same room with him. I don't know many who would even stand to be in the same room as Donald Trump. That's the difference. Like,
it's pretty short-sighted if you want to make progress and not stand in the same room with the president.
Well, it would be great if the president actually invited people to stand in the same room.
It would be great. Yeah. It absolutely
and
would
that's
be.
What I'm saying is that you would have a president in
who
Biden
would offer that,
who would
offer olive branch.
That would be the idea.
And you're absolutely right, and I think they would have walked all over him and told him to fuck himself.
Oh, do I necessarily think that there'd be any progress made? I'm not going to argue that point with you. No, because you know
we don't even know what's going to happen. Right
yeah.
Now.
Well, so this is all hypothetical, which is exactly my point. I just don't think that this. You can say like, oh, well, if we didn't have Donald Trump, this probably would have never happened.
No, I'm
like,
not making that argument.
It's a little bit much.
Not making that argument.
I am.
Brandon is. I'm talking to Brandon right now. I'm pretty sure Darren said it too. God damn it, Darren.
No, having Joe Biden in office. George Floyd would have still been murdered.
Yes. Like, yeah.
There
right.
would have been a
no,
violent,
for sure.
Absolutely.
There would have been a violent uprising in response to it. And absolutely. The fallout that we're continuing to witness, like the tear gas on troops, the vague questioning, is
Trump,
the president
Trump
literally
saying, I'm going to go after, like, the governors are weak. I'm going to dominate the battleground.
Yeah.
Like, that's the language that you wouldn't have, man. Yeah. That's the fucking shit I'm talking about. I don't
no,
get
you'd
this.
Have some pussy Joe Biden shit, and the same shit would be happening. There'd still be riots. Cities would still be on fire. Joe would just be like, hey, I'm really sorry about all this.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, what is he going to do? What was Joe Biden's big solution to this going to be?
He's already made statements that I haven't read. Because
Fair enough. We'll have to agree to disagree on this hypothetical alternate universe
yes,
where Joe Biden
is not
going to
happen.
He did have a good
I love you, Brandon.
I love you too, buddy.
All right.
Cool. Of course, no matter what.
The best part of this podcast is we can fucking bullshit about this shit for an hour, and then we can have a totally civil conversation about movies. Like normal friends, normal Americans should be able to do. That's you should be able to disagree with people and have a healthy
rational
argument.
Human beings.
Yes. Right. Yes. And not get all fucking bent out of shape about it. Like, we could still be friends after this.
Of course.
Yes.
Even though Brandon is just crazy.
Fuck,
that's the thing.
God damn it.
Crazy and always welcome here.
Thanks.
That's why being an independent or, you know, is and I think a progressive, because I think Darren, even as a...
Oh, you're crazy,
you know,
too.
You're a Pete supporter, but I think that, you know, you...
Did you call him a pizza gator?
He's a Pete supporter.
Yeah. Oh, a Pete
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought he called you a pizza gator, and you didn't object, and I was like... Whoa.
But I think that, you know, we can all, you know, admit that, like, the flaws of the Obama presidency and neoliberalism, like, were just inflamed by Donald Trump. And
yeah,
he
was able to come in there and pour salt in those wounds. And
Darren,
like,
Obama is the reason for Trump.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Trump is a referendum on Obama. It's
absolutely.
Not,
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no, I agree.
And I think that, you know, Darren's approach to, you know, with Pete's incrementalism, but still progressive approach differs from my populist, like, huge sweeping changes at a time approach. But I think that we both realize that, like, the current all four of us realize that the current system as it is broken. Something was going to happen at some point.
Yes.
Like this, and, you know, who knows how bad it gets from here, but something that we need to have big structural change to steal.
Yes, we do.
From
Elizabeth
Warren.
Yeah.
Did you say terrorism?
So, honestly, I wish people would choose politician over platform.
Yes.
You know, like, let's not worry about the nitinoid details of their opinions. Let's just pick the good leader. Yeah. Like, you know, are you not like a morally bereft jackass of humanity who like wants to grab people by the pussy? No? Awesome. There we go. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't get with, and I've never gotten, and as a former Catholic, I still don't get,
like the Christian love of Donald Trump.
How the evangelical Christians, and I think it's like 40% of Catholics are...
Because it's a team game.
It's
but they see somebody who's standing up for them, and they're like, oh, we talked about this last week. As a conservative, you have to expect to continually lose ground.
Yes.
And when you see, even if he's not the guy you wanted, even if he's not the real, like, hey, listen, I don't know, the spoiler alert, Donald Trump, not super religious. Never claimed to be before the election, before he became president.
No.
You don't say.
Yeah. but if you're on team Republican and you're in a group of people where it's like they continually lose ground and you see a guy who's standing, it's a referendum on Obama. They were like, hey, it's a guy who's going to stand up for us. And he's not the true believer, but we can change him, Jay. We can save him.
They did a great
job. It's all about saving people. You got to bring him into the fold.
You know
what?
That's a really interesting point.
I also think it goes back to...
Put yourself in the mind of these people.
It was very hard.
I know, man. Get back into it.
Oh,
sink
God,
yourself
please,
into
no.
it. You have to be willing to cross that bridge and trudge through that if you want to understand these people and bring people together.
I totally agree with Dave on this one. You know, I mean, like, if all it took was four officers standing on a street corner to watch George Floyd die, like, imagine the social pressure of you're in a giant mega church in, you know, bumblefuck Nebrahoma, and like, everyone's saying, yeah, he's our man. Like, that's a hard thing to turn against.
Yeah.
Right? It's your crew, and your crew is backed by God.
Yeah.
The greatest captain of any crew.
If you're backed by God, why do you guys keep losing?
Well, they don't. You see, you just think that they're losing.
Yeah,
they're all going to be saved,
of course.
You see,
that's their ultimate, like,
it's their
gotcha.
Shall
when
we
the
say,
rapture comes?
Wait,
fuck you.
Hold on. Wait, I got it. Is it their Trump card?
Oh God.
Oh, good night, everybody.
We got him.
Well.
Oh God.
So, Darren, are you going to...
I wish you could see my eye roll right now.
I can imagine it.
Are you going to be canvassing for Joe?
The only good thing that ever came out of the Rapture was a James Franco movie. So let's just, like, end that right there.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. We watched a different James
Franco
movie recently.
We're watching all the...
We're not friends anymore.
We got to watch that one. But we're watching, we're doing all the Planet of the Apes right now. So.
Yeah.
All of them. All the remakes, all of them.
We thought it was topical.
It ended up being more topical than we expected.
It really did. I mean, like, there's so much actual social commentary in there.
Well, because you get a pandemic involved, too.
In the remakes, yeah.
Oh my God! Even in the originals,
and,
there's a pandemic. It just affects
Andy
dogs
Serkis
and cats.
Is like the greatest underrated genius.
He's
actor.
Really good at these. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, not to get. After we wrap up this episode, we're probably going to do an episode for next week about Planet of the Apes, which I imagine you want to listen to now that you've been on the podcast.
Wow.
and maybe like, you know, promote this podcast to your friends and relatives and neighbors.
I mean,
people you don't like, anybody.
I've
really
never listened to this podcast before.
That's okay, because
this
nobody else has
time.
Either. That's Brandon's on the show every week. He doesn't even listen to the episode.
Because I'm here. I listen because I'm here.
But I do fun things in editing.
You do, and I've heard a few of them, and they're good.
Crazy sound
effects. I just think they're little presents for our audience. Not meant for me.
Not for Brandon.
It's a little gift for later.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. I mean, we've covered a lot, guys. Was there anything we missed? Darren, we can chat all night. I know you've got like a family and responsibility. So.
Who does that?
Yeah, I mean,
No, but hey, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
I hope you guys stay safe, you know. Like, this is a crazy time, but like, your input was really valuable, and it really brought a lot to what we already had kind of started talking about last week,
yeah.
You know.
And we hope we can get you on again maybe as this evolves a little bit, you know, maybe we're all...
Absolutely. As the world continues to fall apart, we'd love to have you back, Darren.
I will happily join you and, you know, sit back and watch the end of the world with a cocktail.
All right.
All right.
All right, brother. Hey, listen, stay safe. Best to you and your family, all right?
Take care, guys. Yep, stay safe as well.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
Later, bud.
Take care.
I don't know if we need an outro, but that's
yeah.
That's us. Catch us next week where we do a Planet of the Apes review.
We're almost done.
That you guys were waiting for.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
For real.